America's founding document, which we celebrate the 250th anniversary this year, is the Declaration of Independence, and it asserts that we have our rights because the Creator gave them to us. But today, many cultural elites deny that there is a Creator. They believe evolution has disproven somehow the Creator. But hey, no Creator, no rights. David Reeves is the founder of David Reeves Ministry, based in Tennessee. He's a weekly news columnist on science and the Bible, and he's also the author of some books on the whole subject of creation. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and David Reeves joins us once more. Hi, David. Good to have you back on the program. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Jerry.
Sure. Okay, first of all, how did you get interested in this whole topic of creation, and did you grow up as somebody who believed in evolution, or tell us about your own personal faith journey when it comes to this issue?
Well, you know, I actually was raised in a Christian family, and at seven, I received the Lord, and I started reading the Bible and just loving the history accounts in the Bible. But at about 8 years old, I started picking up fossils in my backyard, realizing that every fossil tells a story and that we could even search out things within the biblical record by using scientific research.
Well, wait, where were you growing up that you were able to pick up fossils in your backyard?
You know, it was quite a coincidence, and I put that in air quotes, because at eight, as soon as I started to pick up these rocks for fun and realized that they were more than just rocks, I started to research to try to figure out what they were. That led me to a journey to realize that these things were all marine creatures. They're all sea fossils. And I'm in Middle Tennessee. Well, I don't know if you know much about Tennessee, but the only sea in Tennessee is in the name. And we were just blown away with this idea that, hey, there could be even evidence of the global flood of Noah's day in my backyard in Tennessee.
By the way, it's my understanding, I don't know where I picked this up, but the vast majority of all fossils are some kind of sea-type fossils and if, you know, basically shells and things like that.
Yeah, over 70% of all of the fossils that we find, many estimates put it even higher than that, are marine organisms, whether it's shells or corals or crinoids or bivalves, or you could just go on and on and on. It's some type of a marine organism or sea creature. And we only hear about the big dinosaurs because those are the cool things, right? But that's not the majority of what we find. For every one dinosaur fossil we find millions and millions of sea creatures. And guess what, Jerry? They're buried with the dinosaurs. So it's almost like the dinosaurs met their death to a watery grave from some massive catastrophe that happened thousands of years ago.
But when they talk about dinosaurs, and I've seen this in some of the films, IMAX and things like that, where they basically say, well, this is from, you know, X number of, you know, millions and millions of years ago. In fact, they categorically say that the dinosaurs pre-exist humanity, you know, by supposedly centuries, not just centuries, but eons of time.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll say, oh, you know, dinosaurs must have gone extinct about 66 plus million years ago from some meteorite strike that happened, and it killed off nearly all the dinosaurs. And then there are intricacies to that story because they go on to say, well, you know, yes and no, because really dinosaurs never went extinct. They just got smaller. T-Rex sprouted wings and feathers, and he flew off as a giant chicken, you know. And so chickens are basically dinosaurs today. That's the fairy tale that should be laughed upon that is being fed to our children. But the truth of the matter is that when we find dinosaurs today, buried in Montana, or dinosaurs buried in Colorado, or dinosaurs in Argentina, all over the world, you can start to look inside of those fossilized bones, and you many times discover things like red blood cells. In over 150 secular reports, I'm talking about in the actual scientific literature just over the last dozen or so years, Over 150 times, we've broken dinosaur bones open and found osteocytes, proteins, collagens, blood vessels, stretchy material, original biomolecules. And guess what? Those types of things don't last for millions and millions of years. The fact that we're finding these things in dinosaur bones means these dinosaurs were likely buried several thousand years ago, extremely rapidly in mud and water, and that mud and water surrounded them so quickly that it actually preserved the bones and even preserved a little bit of that soft tissue inside.
This is amazing. Now, obviously, most scientists would not agree at all, or the evolutionists, of course, would not agree with some of your findings and certainly some of your conclusions. Or I don't know about the findings part, but certainly the conclusions.
They don't agree with the conclusions, but they can't dispute the evidence. So what many atheistic or evolutionary scientists would say to the discovery of soft tissues is they would say, well, you know, there's only two ways of looking at this. Either these dinosaurs aren't as old as we've been parroting to people for, you know, dozens and dozens of years in all these movies and kids' books, or somehow blood vessels can last for 66 plus million years. They know how unlikely that is, and yet they choose to believe that because it's the only thing that fits an evolutionary narrative. But when you get right down to it, Jerry, you have to ask a question. Why are we trying to think that these things are millions of years old? Is it because there's really scientific evidence to suggest that? Or is it because that is a theory that has attempted to replace the biblical history? Because the Bible is basically a history book. I mean, we've got it from the very creation account. It tells us the story of how God created the universe. It goes into very specific details sometimes, and then sometimes it's a little bit more broad, but it tells the history of how everything, all animals were created after their kind. That means that a fish didn't turn into a bird, which didn't turn into an ape, which didn't turn into you. It means that we were actually created with purpose. And that seems to match everything we see within science. We've never seen one creature turn into another creature. So the Bible and science seem to match up. But if we want to deny biblical truth, then we have to say, well, there is no creator. Everything must have happened by accident. And we know how implausible that is. So therefore, we must say that I guess it took millions and millions and millions and millions of years. And somehow the time factor makes a fairy tale more believable.
Wow, that's fascinating. All right. Well, first of all, the idea of the creator being the source of our rights. That is so critical to the American experience. Now, we know that Thomas Jefferson was the first key author of the Declaration of Independence. Later, he entertained some doubts about some doctrines and so forth, but a lot of people don't realize at the time that he wrote the first draft of the Declaration of Independence, he was, by all outward appearances, a professing Christian and so forth, and the Creator is the source of our rights. If we live in a world without the Creator, then really, honestly, America's birth certificate, the Declaration of Independence, is, for all practical purposes, meaningless. It has no binding to it, because the predicate is gone.
That is so true. We read in that founding document that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And you notice this is a budding new government that is forming, and they don't want the control of life, of liberty, of the pursuit of happiness, because our founding fathers realized that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness can't come from a government. A government will only mess things up. That it has to come from, it's a God-given right that comes from our Creator. And you look at the references to divine providence, you look at the references from the founding fathers to how important religious freedom is, and specifically religious freedom when it comes to Christian values. And then you see the Geneva Bible, which was taken by the pilgrims to the New World. It was majority, the Geneva Bible. And you say, well, why did they take the Geneva Bible? Well, the Geneva Bible was printed by Robert Barker in London, but the Geneva Bible had these really large margins. And in these margins, the commentary was critical of the government, of England's governmental system, and of their attempt to try to suppress religious freedoms. So that's what America is all about. It comes from our Creator, and we see His creation all around us. If we were to look at science, if we were to look outside our window, if we were to look at a blade of grass, if we were to look at another human being, we see design, and design implies a designer.
All right, we have about 4 minutes left. What would you like to say to those who believe that somehow evolution has been proven and that creation is, you know, basically for people who never grew up?
Yes. Okay, so I just got through speaking at Jessup University, was it yesterday or day before, out in California to 1,000 people. Inevitably, you're going to have maybe a skeptic in the room. But usually a skeptic will say, they'll come up and they'll say, well, David, you are a Christian, so you probably believe in creation and you don't believe in evolution, right? To which I never say, well, that's correct. I say, what do you mean by evolution? And usually a skeptic or a diehard atheist or someone who even is a Christian and has decided to accept evolutionary principles, they'll say, well, I mean, you know, mutations. And I'm like, well, mutations are repeatable. They're observable. They're demonstrable. They're empirical. Mutations are good science, but mutations can't turn an amoeba into an astronaut. So mutations are real. And if that's what you mean by evolution, then I suppose I'm an evolutionist. And instantly you'll hear a pivot and they'll say, no, we mean survival of the fittest. To which I respond, well, you mean like the lion always gets the slowest impala. Well, if that's what you mean by evolution, I mean, that's a fact of life. That's observable. That's real science. But a lion eating the slowest impala doesn't turn the fastest impala into a hippopotamus. So that's not really Darwinian evolution. If that's what you mean by evolution, then I'm an evolutionist. You know, you could go through step by step through mutation, speciation, adaptation, survival of the fittest, all of these different terms that most people call evolution. And you'll hear that, well, 90% of those things are real. They're observable. They're repeatable. But they're not Darwinian evolution. They're not universal common descent. And they will never turn one type of an organism into another. That is completely bogus. It's a fairy tale that is taught in biology classes across not just America, but across the world. And it is a fairy tale. It's a supernatural belief system that should absolutely be thrown out the door in favor of real science, which is consistently pointing us right back to our Christian values.
Darwin wrote on the origins of the species, 1859. And it's my understanding he actually said, look, you know, the fossil record is not complete, but I'm sure that the more we dig, the more my theory will be vindicated, showing, you know, different, basically showing evolution being chronicled in time, you know, in the fossil record itself. Okay, 40 seconds to close on this point, David, please.
Yeah, so we're 150 years later, and what Darwin thought a cell was a simple bag of enzymes, we now know to be more complex than an entire city put together. 150 years later, we now see that there are still no transition species within the fossil record that shows a gradual change from one creature into another type of creature. There has been speciation, but we're talking about coloration, beak shapes, length of fur, etc. We are not talking about anything that would prove Darwin's theories, and we're 150 years down the road. It's time to ditch those antiquated theories of evolution and get back to real science.
Wow. Thanks so much for joining us. DavidReevesMinistries.org. Reeves is spelled R-I-V-E-S. Thank you, David. All the best.
Thank you so much, Jerry.